Daigle, I think you forgot.
She's ugly as shit.
All right, let's fire this shit up.
Emotional damage.
Now welcoming to the first tee, the number one podcast in the world, Four Dudes, One Cart. What the fuck is up, Four Dudes, One Cart universe? This is your boy Joe Scherr coming at you for another episode of the Four Degenerates, One Steering Wheel on a Golf Course. Go, Jack. How you doing?
One today, mode of transportation, whether it has four wheels or not.
This that requires a key that beeps
and
when
it gets
backs
us
up
from point A to point B. It's incredible.
That we sometimes destroy.
No, don't do that.
It's like the time that Charlotte, that picture of Charlotte.
No, I think
after.
We can. Yeah, yep. I think we
I'm
can.
I'm doing great, that. Joe. Had a great great Sunday with my boy Daigle. We kicked off the summer over in Loudoun Country Club. It was cold AF. Windy, even more AF.
Very windy. Guess.
Anyways.
And it was a
go
complete.
Ahead, Diggs, how are you?
It was a complete bloodbath.
Yeah.
I got my ass stomped out by a gang.
We should have should have clubbed up twice, not even once.
Yeah.
Not even it was so bad. So bad, dude.
There was so much blood. It was terrible. There was a crime scene.
You guys ran out of balls? You guys had to re-up at the turn
out of balls.
We didn't get that bad.
Daigle. Daigle can be a witness. Bro, I was dropping everything.
Everything.
I'm like, dude, third hole, I looked at Daigle, I was like, bro, what's going on? He's like, keep your fucking head down.
Have you tried hitting the bottom of the ball?
Dude, I don't know what was happening. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
There's nothing more fucking frustrating.
I got two hot dogs in me, and it was fucking go time, and I was still fucking making incredible iron shots that went 100 feet in the air, and the wind was like, watch this, brother.
There's nothing worse than doing the same thing over and over again, but thinking like changing your swing thought and everything. Be like, all right, I'm going to take it back here. Like, come inside. Make sure my hand's in front of the ball. You're like, top it again. The same literally. Fucking, same 12-6 curve every time. You're like, what the fuck?
Dude,
somebody doesn't have to. Well, let's transition to somebody who doesn't have to worry about that. Max, give me your thoughts. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. And you?
Good. We suck at golf. What's it like not?
Yeah, what's it like being not?
What's it like hitting the ball in the air every time?
It's a hell of a lot of fun. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, dude. That's
I don't know. I kind of enjoy looking for golf balls in the woods. It's
that's
like a scavenger. Just a scavenger hunt.
I wear pants for a reason. I'm allergic to everything, dude. I was in Saran wrap until I was 18. My mom was a fucking tiger mom, helicopter mom. As soon as I go into the woods, I'm just like covered in hives. Covered in hives. All right, let's get to some housekeeping real quick. So we are starting to put out some reels, some clips on the social media pages. So please go to the YouTube, like and subscribe. Listen here right now. You listen good. Don't thank me.
You listen right now, I swear to God.
There is more people who download this episode every week than there are subscribers on the YouTube. All I'm going to say. So if you're listening to this, there's a very good possibility that you don't subscribe to us on YouTube. And there's a very good possibility if I find out who you are, it's going to make me cry. Okay? So
click the button.
Ring the bell. Like and subscribe. Comment how bad I am at golf, but still watch it. Okay? So we're building the YouTube. We're going to go short at first. I'm pumping out some videos. Kojak's getting some shot traces, some fucking bells and whistles on it. So we're going to try to get those out on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube as fast as we can. Then we're going to transition to the longer form stuff. As we kind of get this off the ground here, we're going to start like progressing through and started to like build on kind of the stuff we're doing. But yeah, kind of a time thing right now. We're just going to be putting out the short stuff. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Send in your own videos. Send in your own videos, some viewer submissions. Get the boys fucking buzzing, dude. You shotgun a beer and then you turn the video around. Your boy smokes a drive. Send me that video. DM me that video. You're automatically on the fucking. You're on the Twitter. You're on Instagram. You're on there. Tell us what you're doing. What you're what you're fucking hitting, where you're playing. Send us some videos. All the boys at Primetime, shout out Ian, shout out Pat. You guys have been sending in your videos. I really appreciate that. So next thing I want to get to here is be on the lookout for a giveaway. We have a giveaway coming up. I'm not going to spoil it. Not going to fucking spoil it. I have a really tough time keeping it in my fucking pants sometimes with the spoiling shit and the fucking getting ahead of myself. This time, be a good boy. We're going to have a giveaway. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But be on the lookout for that. You'll have to like. You'll have to follow. You have to follow Primetime Production. All that good bullshit. So be on the lookout for a giveaway soon. But other than that, we want to kind of start with some current events here. And then, God damn it.
He just lost power. So we might lose him for a minute. It's all right. We'll
he lost power? Are there some thunderstorms coming through my way? This actually works out perfect because Max doesn't come into the part of the story until very, very later on. So we're going to get through. We're going to get through Scotty. We're going to get through Nelly. We're going to get through the big win of the weekend, Billy Horschel down at Corrales. And then after that, instead of doing our normal on the range, so you didn't see that tweet go out as we usually do. So instead of our normal on the range, segment, we're going to do an on the range, four dude, one cart origin story. So we're going to go all the way back. We're going to talk about maybe some members of the podcast taking some tutoring from other members of the podcast in certain subjects in high school. We'll talk about maybe a deal between one podcaster and another saying, hey, you bring the JMO, I bring the coffee. We'll talk about some other stuff about how we may be buying some golf clubs for one another. So we're going to give you the lowdown on how we got to where we are today. I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't kind of give you guys a background of kind of like, while we're all so close, why there's so many fucking inside jokes flying around. But without further dudes, I want to stop talking, get my boys talking. I always start with Kojak. But tonight, we're going to let Daigle. Oh, nice. We're going to get demonetized.
Trying to be a kid-friendly channel.
Yeah, nice. You're fucking demonetized now, you fucking dickhead.
He swore twice after I said we're trying to be a kid-friendly channel. It's awesome.
Does head count on the dickhead? You could say dick, but you can't say dickhead. Like, you could say ass, but you can't say asshole. You know what I mean? Anyway, Daigle. Anyway, Scotty wins four out of his last five starts. He wins his second jacket in a row, plaid that is. He wins his third jacket of the year, cardigan that is. Tell me about Scotty. Tell me about the weekend. And worst.
No, Scotty's just super overrated at this point. I think everyone's just pumping steam into his engine, and he's super overrated. He's not as good as he's making it seem, and it's a diluted pool that he's playing in. No, Scotty's a fucking man. He's crushing everyone.
Damn, he's crushing everyone. Second, I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna have. I had me.
Bro, I was shitting. I was like, "There's no way, Davis.
There's no way he's using logic and being right here, right?"
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah. Kid is on a roll, and he's crushing it. He's taking names, cashing checks. He's gonna drive a Range Rover. He probably already does.
No, he doesn't. He drives the same Tahoe he drove in college with 200,000 miles on it.
That's fine. Even better. He just made $16 million in 5 weeks.
And he's about to have a kid.
Is he?
I think so.
Hopefully.
I thought that was supposed to happen a week ago. Whatever.
Dude, that thing got a whole bull out of proportion. They were basically like, yo, would you leave if she had the kid? And he's like, yeah. And they didn't follow up, be like, how pregnant is she? She's like, dude, she's got like 90 days left. And they're like, nobody cared about that. Anyway, Daigle, give me more thoughts from the weekend. Do you watch a lot of golf?
I didn't get to watch a lot of golf this weekend. Normally, Sunday would be the day where I sit down and actually watch it, get into it. But obviously, being me and Kojak, we're out golfing the first round of the year. We all talked about how that went already. So,
and I was kind of cat.
I was kind of all golfed out at that point, but. Love the jacket design, by the way, the plaid.
That is sick. Anything worse than going out and shooting like a 105 and then sitting down on your couch and watching Scotty put one to three peat and tap in for like eagle? You're like, this sucks. He's playing a totally not only is that course 1,000 yards longer than the one I just played, he's actually fucking good. Not fair.
No, and then that what hole is it where he puts it in the water and then puts another one to like 2 feet.
Makes his first five of 2024.
Like what?
Fucking Christ. I had three holes before I made a five, and that's not saying I was making fours, brother.
Dude, next year when the winner, they pull a cannon and like they pull a string and like a cannon goes off to kick off the tournament on Thursday or Wednesday or something. What's my story?
That's dumb as hell. All right. I got a bone to pick with you, PGA Tour. So the week after the Masters, not only do you make it an elevated event, you give out another fucking sports jacket? What are we doing here? Dude, these guys literally have to turn around after finishing out on the Masters Sunday, play practice rounds Monday and Tuesday, fucking 5 hour, 6 hour drive away. I know they're probably all PJing, but like 5 hour, 6 hour drive down to Harbortown. Then not only do you have to play in an elevated, so you remember there's eight elevated events, and if you're a certain position in the world, you have to play in those events. You have to play in a certain number of those events. So it's almost an obligation after a major. You have an obligated event after that. On top of all of that, if you win that tournament, they give you another jacket? I'd be so mad, dude. If I was Scotty, I'd be like, just give me the check. Get me the fuck out of here, dude. Don't even size that jacket. Just size it for fucking next year, dude. I'm fucking out of here, dude. I'm actually going to drive my car through the lighthouse at Harbortown and then Uber to the airport, dude. It's just so angry. Dude, it's just like they're tricking up fucking the PGA Tour. The reason I watch a PGA Tour is because it's not fucking live. So stop doing this bullshit. Stop doing this bullshit. All right. Karen, sure, relax. Kojak, what'd you think of this weekend?
Dude, Scotty. Oh, wait, pause. Everyone pause.
Wait, hold on. He's back.
Hold Max. On. What happened? I'm about Max, to violently sneeze.
Max, we just finished up about Billy Horschel's win at Corrales. You want to talk about that?
Oh, God, here we go.
What happened, buddy?
Someone did you power out, or is just an excuse to get another beer?
No, come on. You think?
I'm kidding.
You think the power would go out here?
Yeah. Some idiot ran into a light pole outside.
Oh, perfect.
But Billy Horschel.
No, I'm kidding. Oh, Max. Right. Max, sip your beer, Kojak. Finish up your thoughts on this weekend, then we'll send it over to Maxie Boy.
Scotty, man. You see his hole out?
Of course I did, dude.
For Eagle? Dude, he literally landed. He landed that ball on like what 2 inch or 2 feet, maybe less, of like rough, and then he had a cliff into a bunker, and then he had the first cut, and then like what 5 feet to the hole, and just stupid. It was crazy.
Kojak. How many? I give you 100 times to hit that chip. How many go in the bunker?
95, out of 100?
95, 98.
Come on, man.
Dude, but no, I'm not even making fun of you, dude.
I have to try and land it in the same spot Scotty did?
Yeah, you have to make the same shot.
Guess what? Video idea.
Yeah, dude. You know what I would do? I'm taking out putter. I'm hammer cocking
that
thing.
I'll do 100 of those shots, I swear to Christ.
Dude, if you work at Harbortown, if you somehow work at Harbortown and you're somehow even more of a niche pocket, you're somehow listening to this podcast? Let me know. Send me a DM on Twitter @_juicygeo. Let's get Kojak 100 attempts from that same spot Scotty was on. No, but I'm just saying, all I'm saying is like, it's such a fall off after that. If he lands that ball 2 or 3 inches beyond where he wants to land it, man, it's skipping into the bunker or falling off into the bunker every time.
But Scotty, man, he's, I don't even know what else to say about him. We talk about him because he keeps fucking winning, but.
I got something to say.
All right, what do you got to say, Joe? Sure.
Max, what are your thoughts?
Okay.
I'll get to mine.
I mean, first off, I think Joe sure needs to start believing in the Scheffler.
No.
And two, I mean, he's just dominant. We haven't seen this since the Big Cat, you know? The consistent ball striking. Whoa, no.
Okay. Don't say the B word on the podcast.
But no, I just think Scottie Scheffler is just showing that, you know, he's going to win the FedEx Cup this year. There's no way. There's no way he can't with what he's
doing. Time out.
Can you get a major first?
Time out. Last week you discredited Rory for winning the tour championship. Why are you now giving credit to Scotty?
I'm not discrediting Scotty. I'm just
obviously not. All you guys do is glaze him on the whole fucking pod, dude. I'm the only voice of reason over here.
Actually, none of us even like him. It's just you hate him, so we just clear the pod.
Why'd you tell him, Daigle?
Come on.
He needs to know.
You just let the cat out of the damn bag. I'm still going to fucking rail on him for the next 5 minutes.
you're just a devil's advocate, Joe.
Me?
Yeah.
Dude, I never devil's advocate, dude. I've never done that, dude.
Not once.
Never once. No, I'm a piece of shit. We all know that. Max, finish up.
But you are a piece of shit. Sorry.
Thank you for
I just think he's going to win at least one more major this year. Yeah, and he's gonna wrap it up with the FedEx Cup. That's just a retirement plan. That's all I want. I just want him to have that nice retirement plan. That 15 milli that they put 18, into that buddy. Nice little RIRA.
18, right?
No, but he's talking about, so the tour, when you get paid out from the tour, so let's say you win $1 million. I know that's chump change now compared on the tour, but like they have tour-funded healthcare and tour-funded like retirement plan. There's like a huge – it's almost like 50% of that money gets put away into like retirements and annuities and stuff like that. And actually, Max, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but some of that money that they win, it actually goes back into an investment on the PGA Tour. And then whenever they retire, they can take that money out. So yeah. Like, if you win $1 million, you don't get a million from the tour. You get – $1 million minus your, it's almost like being a W-2. Like you're putting away on your 401k, you're putting away for, you have your fucking healthcare and shit like that.
Well, that's also more along the lines of like the FedEx Cup too. Like all that money, like that $15 million or goes away. They put that into,
it's 30 million now if you win.
Yeah. And you can't, well, now it will be
30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was 18.
No.
30?
Rory won 20 in 2022, bro. And then apologize when he beat.
Who did he beat?
I don't know. I forget, dude. Who did he beat in the 2022 Tour Champion? He beat somebody, dude. He's like a big name now. I think he's pretty.
He beat a lot of people.
I think he got beat by someone who has two jackets and he has none.
How many? All right, we're not doing this right now. Brody has twice the wins and twice the majors.
It's fine.
Anyway,
it's fine.
Max,
you asked
up.
Me to name who it was, and I said, "Does he have?" I asked you if he has two green jackets.
He beat Scottie Scheffler. Anyway,
does Rory have a plaid jacket?
Does Rory have a guarding of a Bay Hill?
Wait, hold on a second. Now you got me in a corner. Now you got me back into a corner.
Who has the most?
I'm gonna start lashing out, dude.
Who has the most plaid jacket?
How many Genesis Scottish Opens does Scottie have? Huh?
How many Mexican Opens?
How many Dubai championships does fucking Scotty have?
Rory has five.
I can tell you one thing that Billy Horschel has over Scotty Scheffler.
Tell me, Max, what does he have?
He has a Corrales championship.
All right, let's talk about the second piece of crap they're giving out this week.
What a transition.
Fucking Billy Horschel wins a fucking Corrales, and he fucking gets that stupid straw fucking hat, dude. jokes aside,
he didn't even get invited to the RBC.
Jokes aside, shout out to Billy Ho. I'm glad he's back.
Billy Ho bags.
I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's winning a tournament. I don't care if it's an opposite field event. I think Billy Horschel, in my opinion, is the most understood player on tour. Every time you get him on a golf adjacent podcast, every time you get him in front of like a media form where he gets to think about his thoughts and it's not just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You get a very thoughtful and I don't want to say empathetic, but you get like a very understanding guy. And he had right when the LIV and PGA shit went down, like whatever, 18 months ago, he had an interview on 4Play. And it was kind of after 4Play, like, was like all over like Billy. Cause like, dude, when you watch Billy, you're like, dude, this dude comes off as a fucking asshat. And he does. And it's okay. Cause so don't I when I play golf. But like there's just like almost like a narrative of like a Karen narrative of like a fucking pain in the ass, like not great to play with guy. And then you ask everybody on tour and they're like, no, he's great to play with. And then you ask everybody who interviews him and he's like, no, dude, after the lights turn off, he's fucking great. So like, I don't know. I, even though Scotty won this week, I mean, dude, there's a million things I could fucking say. Like, five of the top 15 players in the world don't play on this tour. Like, fucking, he has two majors in his first 120 starts and then the same fucking major. And, like, there's all this other – there's all this stuff you can say, but it doesn't really matter, dude. Like, Scotty beats the guys. He beats the course you put in front of him. Beats the guys you put in the same field as him. And there's not much you can fucking say about that. And as much as I rail on his putting, dude, all of that is made up with his chipping, dude. He's a fucking master around the green. So I understand the juxtaposition here of like you guys being in a Scotty camp and me being kind of outside of it, but it's kind of like more than that. Cause it's like, I do realize how dominant and good Scotty is. I just think he's like the fifth guy in the last 10 years to do literally this exact same thing. Whether those same people had the same consistency and the dominance in such a short, tight window as Scotty has, kind of a different argument, but I'm really excited to see where Scotty takes this.
So,
and almost done with my point here, Max, is like where I see Billy is it's kind of on the other side of that. Like this is like, I want to say a comeback story, but this is a guy that has kind of gone by the wayside through no, I'm not saying it's not his fault. It's kind of a guy who's gone by the wayside, who hasn't played great in the last year or two, who's actually getting on the leaderboard at an opposite field event, making the putts, making the shots to come home with a win. So all the negatives that I take away from Scotty and stuff like that, I shouldn't, and I should be more supportive of him, but I'm just not going to be because that's just who I am as a person. But then when you come back to Billy, I see that as more of a comeback story and more of a success, and it's more endearing to me than maybe some other victories that have been recent on the tour.
I would just say, I know you said he's done a lot, like some other players in the last 5 years, but who in the last 5 years has won a Players and a Masters in the same year?
Why is that your fucking line?
I'm just saying.
Like, why is that your line? You put Scottie Scheffler over fucking Rory McIlroy on your fucking pantheon of the 2020s. Like, dude, I mean, the pantheon of the 2000s. Like, you're patently being disingenuous. Like, the dude has half the amount of – a third of the wins and half of the majors, and you still rank him above Rory. You just hate Rory. You don't love Scotty. You hate Rory. And it's fine. I'll call it myself. I love Rory and hate Scotty. That's most of this discourse. That's most of where I get my fucking takes from. But don't be disingenuous saying you're not the same way on the other side. I got to go get my Zen. I'm still listening.
I'm just saying. When Rory McIlroy hasn't shown up in how many years?
He shows up. He just can't finish.
How many majors does Scotty have?
Oh, my.
Less than Rory in his first 120 starts. If he goes on a 10-year drought, I'm going to love him just like Rory. And I'm going to bet on him every Masters just like fucking Rory, dude. That's how it fucking goes. You guys just don't have the fucking melons between your legs like I do to stick up for what you fucking believe in, all right?
You just don't want to. Dude, he's just winning. Oh, that was a bomb. You're a bitch. That was a bomb. You got me.
I do what I can. But Kojak, I haven't heard from you in a minute. Give me a quick hit. Do my guy a service. Give me a quick hit on Billy Ho, and then I kind of want to transition out of this and get to the real best golfer in the world after.
Dude, I'm sick of talking about Scottie Scheffler.
Me too, bro. I'm sick of defending myself.
Well, stop saying you want to talk about the number one golfer and like pick somebody else. Anyways, Billy Ho.
What's up next, dude?
Got me. Anyways, Billy Ho, Billy Ho, Billy Ho. Did not like him at first. I don't know. I think it was his clown shoes. He wore some incredibly wild shoes.
Not your fault, Billy. I know you have brand deals, and we know you. I know we don't pick out your outfits, but Coach, I'd like to talk to your stylist. We just give us. Yeah. Actually, Billy Ho Silas, if you're listening, come on the pod. We got to talk.
He's a good golfer. He's a great man off the course, too. And he's got a kind of a unique putting technique. And
Joe is I'm so glad
you got the course. Unique. And
kind of makes sense.
Dude sneaks up on the ball like he's trying to scare it. He's like, hold on, I'm not gonna hit it. Oh, here I go.
Anyways, hey,
what do you think of Billy? What do you think? Oh, no, you're not done, Kyle.
I'm done. I was gonna move on. Dago, what do you think about Billy Hobags and his fucking Hobags?
You call him that? It's like,
whatever, dude.
Whatever, dude. Alfonso, if you're listening, come on the pod. All
right. I feel like it's like Joe said, he's Billy Horschel's a good dude. Everyone seems to love him. He just comes off as he has one of those faces that you just want to root against.
That's a good point.
That's 90% of how I watch golf. I don't like that guy's face, so now I want him to fail.
Like Brian Harman, we don't hate you, we hate your face. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I hate how tall he is. No disrespect.
Wait, all right, that's mean. I don't like.
Yeah, that. I was like, dude, that's fucking. You can't change that. Billy can.
No, my first impression of Harman was his temper tantrum in the sand pit, and I was like,
my impression of Brian Harman was like, is he gonna stand up at any point? Anyway.
No, it's one of those. You just don't like his face, so you want him to fail. So that's what I do. He's one of those guys. I just, yeah. He could be a great guy. He could like adopt like puppies and shit and feed the homeless, but I just don't like his face, so I'm not gonna root for him.
Diggle's like, I want to punch you and the puppies.
No, I'll save the puppies.
That was said by Joe Scherr.
Telling your children.
Wow, that's fucked up. Should I get him in here for a little cameo? Just kidding. Farley will ruin this whole imagine how haywire this thing would go with Farley with a Zoom in this room.
Just absolute bonkers.
Just 98 pounds of just unabated flesh. Anyway, all right, so I want to get to the clear-cut number one in the world here.
I'm driving this thing.
Nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing what she's doing right now. How many other golfers in the world have won 5 straight professional events?
Not really.
Scotty might.
That'd be weird because it would take 3 weeks. He's only won 2 in a row. Anyway.
It was a joke.
Nelly effing Korda.
It was good.
Who's she married to? Max.
I don't think she's married yet, but she's engaged to a NHL player. He did play for the Kings.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Anyway, he's Mr. Nelly Korda now. Like, long story short, you know, they talk about, oh, this is so-and-so's wife. This is Mrs. fucking Joe Scherr, the best golfer in the world. No, that is Mr. Nelly Korda from now on. Dude, first of all, I would way rather do a cannonball into that fucking lake than put on that dumbass fucking plaid fucking sweater. All right? Nelly, I don't care what you fucking say.
Come on the pod.
She is the best golfer in the world. Tee to green, tee to putting the ball in the cup. She is the best golfer on planet Earth right now. Daigle, your thoughts?
I agree.
Max, your thoughts? No, I'm just kidding. I got my hands on me.
No, she's just making everyone else look silly. She's just lights out right now. There's no stopping her. She's on a war path.
You know how they had that fucking Max, it wasn't Chasing Annika or whatever? What was the fucking documentary they did about Annika Sorenstein? It was like Chasing Annika or I Am Annika, but that is literally Nelly right now. Max.
Well, first off, I guarantee you for $3.6 million, you would put that ugly-ass jacket on.
I would put a lot on for $3.6 million, including women's lingerie.
I put on the Borat thong for that much money.
Ooh.
Strap my stuff. How you
I doing? Would actually pay $3.6 million to see that.
Everyone would. I don't know how you would not want to see that.
Just shave, please.
No, anyway. Absolutely not.
Just like 3 afros going on. Anyway.
The luscious bee. Going from my chest beams down to my ball, bro.
She's like, I had the old bull. Now I want the young calf. And she grabs me by the wiener. Anyway, Max.
Anyways.
Sorry for Step Brothers. That'll happen. That'll happen.
While I'm distracted over here by Afro Thunder and Joe.
Kojak, 41-08, 42-08 to 42-14.
I'm keeping everything.
We're keeping it all. All right, Max, please get this thing back on the rails. Like you do my golf rounds when we play together. Joe, get your 5-iron out of the woods. Get back in the car. We're going to find your ball.
Nelly Korda just mentally is just all over it, you know? She just has the eye of the tiger. Ooh, no pun intended.
Oh, how you doing? Good,
like
you?
We'd like to say.
No, pun intended. Yes.
Yes, definitely. So, yes, we want to see her keep going, and I think if she keeps playing the way she is, she's going to take over that Annika Sorenstam status.
Dude, I saw Annika play. Remember when they had that mix event right after COVID in like fucking wherever the fuck Europe?
And the Scandinavian mixed?
Dude, Annika, she might have been playing from like 5,400 yards or some bullshit. But like, dude, she hit this one shot. She was she's a right-handed golfer. The ball, regardless, she had to hit it left-handed. She turned her club around, hit this like nippy little fucking thing I could never do with the right club. And like rolls it up to like 10 feet and like makes par. And it's like, there's just a total different stratosphere of athlete out there. Kojak, tell me more about Nelly in this weekend.
Dude, she's incredible. Max and I went and saw her at the Pelican, and she just has, like I said last time, she just has a crazy tempo. Her swing's incredible.
It looks like she's not trying, dude.
Dude, the women are just crazy. Like they're just way more technical about their swing, and the guys are just out here swinging out for the stars. No,
a little stat for that. A little stat for that. Go ahead. So I forget who it is, but the number one accuracy off the tee off the tour would be number 75 on the LPGA tour. That's how much more accurate that the women are than the men.
Nuts. They're just not even swinging. Brooke Henderson, another one, dude, just out there piping it and just not even swinging it.
Dude, 8 under through 8, dude? How do you do that?
Yeah. Brooke is
incredible. I can't even do that in 2K.
Yeah. Max, who's that rookie on tour? Or she won like a major Rose Zhang. She's I'm excited to see what her career holds for her. She's gonna be a great golfer.
All right, I want to get into this right now. I didn't put it on the agenda, but I really want to get Matt's thoughts on this. Does Nelly have a chance to make a run at a PGA event playing from the same tees?
Does she have a run at winning? No.
Does she have a run at being in the top 10?
She has a chance at competing, but it's just a whole different ballgame, man.
I don't know. Like, I think if you gave the tour players 7,200 yards and you gave Nelly 7,000 yards, like, dude, I don't think the gap. My opinion is, I agree with you, but I don't think the gap is as big as it normally is between like the best women and but like, being able to compete on tour. I'm not saying they're not as good. I'm just saying sometimes it's just like legitimate physical limitations. Like Scotty's fucking 6'4", 250. You know what I mean? You're gonna be able to hit the ball farther than any. Like lady that's not that size.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at it in the past, you've had, you know, Lexi Thompson when she was number one in the world, you know, she played in a PGA Tour event and, you know, she didn't finish in the top 10.
Right? She made the weekend?
She did, but it's a whole different animal, you know, being able to finish in a top 10 in a PGA Tour event. I'm not discrediting Nelly by any means. I'm just saying it's just like you said. It's not her golf ability that is going to stop her from, you know, competing with those guys. It's more of her, like you said, her physical limitations.
I just think honestly, dude. After like, I don't know. I'm a psychopath. So like on Sunday, I like watched like the condensed round of like Nelly, and she's just so like, there's just such a like there's such a like a deliberate, like it's almost like Tiger. Like, I fucking rail against everybody comparing Scotty to Tiger. Dude, there's almost like, she's so fucking deliberate. You know what I mean? There's such a deliberate like nature to her game. Like nothing is rushed. She's so in control the whole fucking time. And I don't know. She's just a she's a real pleasure to watch. And I don't want to be that chauvinist guy who's like, finally, we have a woman. They're like, dude, I legitimately think she would be a top 50, top 40, top 30 player in the world if she had to play on the men's circuit. Like, if you forced her to play PGA events, I think she would be a top 30 player in the world. Kojak, what do you think?
Dude, absolutely. Sorry, I was doing something.
No worries, dude. Producer Co, we got you.
Yeah, someone take it. I lost my train of thought.
So I'll take it. I'll take it from Co.
Thanks,
I'll
Max.
Take it from Co. So I would say, yeah, she would. You know, I would definitely say she would be a top 30 player in the world, and she would definitely be, you know, up there in the
sense. But Jordan Spieth hasn't hit a fairway in 2024, and he's still a top 30 player in the world.
Yeah, it's with her. It's just the fact of, you know. Yeah, I definitely think she could win a tournament, but I don't think it would be, you know, a major, obviously, and it's not going to be any elevated event. I think she would be the one that's going to win, you know, like a Corrales Punta Cana Championship or whatever. Billy Horschel's.
Will Billy Horschel win on the
LPGA? She would have won that. She would have won that tournament by 8 strokes, bro.
Yeah. Billy Horschel would have been carrying her bag the last time.
I said a Billy Ho bag, Billy Carey bag, huh?
Yeah.
Billy Carey bag. You
motherfucker. Diego, tell me more about Nelly and how you think she'd fare on the tour.
I think it's a real good possibility that she would be top 30 on tour. She definitely has the iron play. She puts the ball wherever she wants it. It just comes down to that power and that distance. And whether she can make the shots to make up for that those guys in the PGA have over.
But no, it's a you guys bring up a good point. Literally, the only defense for the tour is the distance. That's the only that there's no
that's,
other.
That's all it is.
That's it. And I don't know. Gets Nelly on some swing training. Get her on the right protein diet. Get some fucking LBs on her. I don't know.
Just put her on the Bryson diet. Yeah. Just drinking 12 protein shakes a day.
Brysetta or something like that, dude. Yeah. Just like make her something like, dude, just make her a cyborg like they made Bryson, dude. Make all of her irons the same length, dude. Just have her fucking hitting bombs, dude.
Yeah, what's her name from Dodgeball? Bernice, the low grade beaver tranquilizer.
God damn you, Bernice!
she'll be top 5 in no time.
Dude, this I fucking love that movie. What a great reference. We got a Step Brothers and a Vince Vaughn fucking dodgeball reference in this pod. This is gonna be Max, tell me
Max is gonna do his own rendition of Milkshake at the end of Dodgeball like White Goodman.
Laser Blazer, Dazer. Anyway, all right. So that's a good rendition of kind of what happened this week. You could probably name this podcast Four Dudes, One Scotty at some point because, I mean, we're going to lead every episode with Scotty until he doesn't have a chance to win. Dude, he's going to have to – even if he comes in outside the top 10, we're going to be like, dude, what the fuck, bro? Scotty played so bad. He shot 4 rounds in the 60 and didn't fucking win. It's like, this dude sucks. Dude, next time Scotty doesn't win a podcast, if you're a Joe Scherr and not a Scotty Scheffler fan, you better tune in, bro. It's going to be a fucking party up in this bitch, dude. It's going to be a party. If Rory wins a major, there'll be one person on this podcast, and it'll be me. And I'll be completely naked covered in Crisco. We won't be able to put it anywhere. Anyway, I digress. Like I said off the top, we didn't really put out a on the range tweet this week because we wanted to kind of get into something that I think we were kind of lacking through these first couple episodes here is we kind of want to get into the origin of why the fuck these four people are doing a podcast together. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to kind of give a quick thread as to the beginning of knowing these three amigos here. And then I'm going to kind of dish it off to those people as we kind of go through chronologically. And I'm going to kind of keep as the narrator through here because I think that, no offense to all you guys, I think that I was friends
with you three first before you guys were all friends with each other. Could
yeah,
you
whatever,
say that?
Dude.
And it, no, I'm I'm the best. This whole podcast is about how Joe's kind of the best at everything. So we're gonna keep that trend going here. As soon as the videos come out of my golf swing, we'll end that narrative. So yeah, I'm just gonna start, dude. So way back, holy fuck, dude, 13 years ago now, 13, 14 years ago now, there was a class called Math for the Common Folk. Math for the Common Folk that Zach Daigle and I were put in as seniors. It was basically like, just go to business school, get out of our face, kind of math class.
Yeah, it's like, you're not smart, you're not dumb.
Exactly. So, whatever. First couple of months go by. Daigle and I are kind of the only bros in the class, you would say. Kind of the only bros, kind of like maybe doing a couple extracurriculars before school, before we got to senior year. So we ended up having the first two classes of school together, A period and B period together. Friendship kind of bloomed from there. Played fucking rec sports, intramural sports. Fucking Daigle went to visit me at school. I went to visit Daigle at school. There's 15 years of friendship there. And then probably about, I would say maybe 6 or 7 years ago, like kind of when we both got out of college or we both got out of school, I started playing golf and I really didn't have anybody to play golf with. Like I was playing guys from work, kind of can't get wrecked with those guys. So they go, hey, you ever tried this sport before? He goes, no, I'm going to be wicked good at it though. I'm like, all right, cool. Come through.
Did not work out that way. It's still a work in progress.
So Daigle, take it from there. Kind of. I don't know. I want maybe give a rendition from your side, and then kind of take me through the start of your golf career and kind of where it took you into kind of this scenario.
So I was always a contact sport guy. I wanted to hit people. I never wanted to be finessed. I never wanted to be like think too much. Just I see a target, I want to hit it. And then I started to become too old to do all that stuff. I started getting the aches and pains and pick up tackle football at the local football field. Wasn't really in the
question. Somebody was breaking a bone every week. We used to play every Sunday. And I think we had three bones broken in 3 weeks in a row. And we were like, yeah, I think this is kind of over for us.
Yeah. So it was one of those. I was like, all right, I got to do something a little more productive and I'm not going to hurt myself. So Joe finally twisted my arm enough for me to get into golf. And immediately, because of how bad I was, my brain decided that I am going to play this until I either drop dead or I become halfway decent at it. So it's been a work in progress ever since.
And you're still here.
So neither of those have happened. So we're still playing.
Yeah, we're still playing. We're still trying. We're still in the trial era.
Love that. Well, full disclosure, Daigle was the best man at my wedding. So you kind of see how that goes. It goes from high school sweethearts to golf buddies to you're in my wedding. Another person that follows that same kind of line is Kojak.
Wow.
So full disclosure here. I caused Kojak to fail sophomore math. Let's just be honest. Full disclosure, I let Kojak
go to the senior tables though at lunch.
Yep. So Kojak would skip his lunch to come get tutored by Joe. Instead of getting tutored by Joe, he would just get the privilege of sitting at the senior table, the cool kid table in the library during lunch. I told him 2 + 2 = 5, and it's been
yeah, 2 + 2 = 5, and then after school I would go get smoked by a kid wearing number 38. It's great.
I would fuck over Daigle. I would fuck over Kojak in the classroom, and then you would have to go right to fucking practice with Daigle to get fucked over by Daigle.
Daigle and DJ specifically remember those two smoking me. I'm like, I am going to remember you guys forever. And I ended up being best friends with one of them.
Yeah, but long story short, dude, Ko and I got real close during college. He went to a school kind of like very close to mine. So it was kind of an easy not
trying to. You met because you went and visited DJ.
Yeah, dude, I came and visited a mutual friend of ours, Kojak and I obviously fucking hit it the fuck off. I may have intruded on some situations in the bedroom that endeared us even closer together. Shut the door! Like, all right, dude, my bad. I'm fucking, we're leaving for football in 5 minutes. I got eggs on the stove, whatever.
Wait, what situation are you talking about?
Oh, when we were at Lakes Region Community College, I had to wake you up for football. And,
I don't remember
you weren't,
that.
Oh, you weren't the only one in the bed? And you were just like, no words, just pointing towards the door for me to exit. And I was just like, no problem, dog.
Kojak, you dirty girl.
You dirty, dirty.
What?
You dirty, dirty.
Fuck all of you on the bottom row.
Long story short, COVID happened.
This kid, Q.
Yeah.
That kid.
Covered in Crisco still, because we just talked about Nelly. But long story short, COVID happened. I had to move back from Boston up back to New Hampshire, closer to home. Kojak and I were like, huh, it's working now. Might as well keep it working. Started living together. We had another roommate,
Shy. A lot of
pickup
football games on Sunday in Boston.
A lot of kick of football.
That led up to that.
And then one day.
I had a fake baby.
Then what? That's a whole nother pod. That's a whole nother pod, dude. That's a whole. You want to get into
a series of pods?
Do we want to? We might have to start a whole different brand to talk about that.
somebody wake Max up.
No, dude, no.
Go ahead.
Nah, there's so many people listening that I wanted to come on the pod, but I'll just leave that alone.
Beacon Street. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're moving to Beacon Street, Manchester. Kojak digs his fucking. So Kojak was a stud junior golfer. Nobody knows this. Kojak was a stud junior golfer. Fucking stick, number one, number two on the middle school golf team, dude. Kid was an absolute stick. Then life got in the way, dude. Life got in the way. He had to play contact sports like Daigle, had to fucking navigate some fucking life situations, so can't play that much golf. I understand. Then we move in together. We play golf a couple times. Kojak tops every ball that you could give him. You give him a Pro V1, tops it. You give him a fucking top flight, tops it. Doesn't matter.
And then Shy goes, put a fucking tee in my ass and fucking... off.
And then we took an ass cheek off his body. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's that's the good weed through a bong right there. That's all the reds hitting your lungs.
This dude's don't hit my ass cheek. All right, who's gonna tee off the ball? Joe Scherr.
Let me give me that ass.
Jumped right on that opportunity.
Anyway, so we get back for Kojak's third round in a row for topping 70 balls. You just puts $500 in my lap and he goes, make me a set of golf clothes. And I said, say less. And it's honestly been fucking, it's been music since then. It's been fucking a great crescendo since then, dude. Another guy that was in my wedding, another fucking close friend of mine, Kojak. Tell me more about your golf navigation here that got you to this point.
Dude, I still have those irons from that original set that you bought. The irons are from like 2016.
Framing them. 2016. You wish.
We're younger than that? Younger.
No, dude. They're
younger.
Older
than that, you clown.
That was like 2019 and 2020, dude. And I think those clothes were 4 or 5 years old, dude.
Wow. They're old as shit. Anyway, still got them.
They're from when you graduated high school.
What?
Max, stop being mean.
That wasn't being mean.
They're older than when you graduated high school. He's calling you old.
Damn, bro.
Max is older than you. Anyway.
You're older than me. Right, Daigle?
That's right.
How's the 30s treating you?
Oh, it's
relax, Joe.
Hey, I'm trying to get him in where I can, bro.
Right there. Hey, listen, I'm old enough to know better, too young to care. So that's all I can say about that.
Damn, we should make a country song.
That's a phrase that somebody would definitely know.
Of course.
Co, tell me more about your golf life.
Yeah, dude. My dad got me into it way back yonder. And I was just kind of hooked from the start. I was a big golfer in middle school days. Captain of the team,
not only good, but a leader.
Wow.
Yeah. played a couple tournaments, championships. My seventh, eighth grade didn't win shit.
How many jackets?
No plaid jackets, unfortunately. A couple pats on the back.
I'll make you one. How about that?
Thanks, pal.
Kojak ever wins a round with us, we're bringing the jacket out.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to Goodwill this weekend.
It's fucked up. It's 42 long.
Oh, anyways.
Oh, fuck. My AirPod just died. good in you.
Anyway, fantastic.
Yeah, so I played a lot of football and lacrosse too, and then when I got to high school, I played golf. I tried out, didn't make freshman year, then I went to football and lacrosse. Played lacrosse my freshman year, and then football my sophomore year, and lacrosse my sophomore year. Then got back into golf when moved in with the Juicy Jew. Then one day I get a little text message from Joseph while I'm at work. He's like, "Yo, what's up, pal?" He goes, "I'm at the Wyndham Country Club and I ran into an old friend. He's going to come over and watch the Celtics game." Fucking send it, dude. Do what you want, dude. I'm not the only one that lives there.
Jason Tatum, if you're listening.
And I get home. What?
Jason Tatum, if you're listening, come on the pod.
And I get home and a gentleman by the name of Max Massey's on my couch. And one thing
I was there for the next week straight.
Great. What a time to pause in.
Our fourth roommate at Beacon Street.
Dude, no, fourth. Our
our third and a half roommate. Our 3A roommate. Roommate 3A.
Your wife.
Not true. It went literally at that place. There was three people that lived there. It went me, you.
On the lease.
Caleb, Max, and then Shiloh on the lease at the bottom. Like, dude, just pure time.
Come on the shod pie if you're listening.
Get on the shod pie, yes. Anyway. Door Foods One Cart.
How you doing? Great, you?
So I'll kind of pick it up where Kojak kind of left it off there with Max. So you heard on the last podcast, first introduction to Max is turning me upside down over a keg at Plymouth State for a tip on some Chinese food. He didn't buy the Chinese food. He wasn't the one lacking the tip.
Which I just learned, which is wild.
How I was kind of
wild. I
thought about telling that story like recently, but I was just like, nah, it'll be
wild. You guys weren't even boys yet.
No, we weren't. We weren't.
He was just fucking groomsman at your wedding 10 years later. That's awesome.
It's nuts, so dude. Cool. Nuts, dude. So I go into this fucking random fucking house at Plymouth State, deliver my Chinese food as I do, best in the business. And I go to walk out. Max is like, "Hey, they didn't tip you. Do you want a bong rip and a keg stand as a tip?" I said, "What do I look like a fucking see?" Wow. So I did that. So took a bong rip, took the keg stand, blew the bong rip out. Was the king of that party for 5 minutes, which was the best. There's nothing better than being a delivery guy and doing some crazy shit, and everybody's like, "You're a fucking delivery guy!" I'm like, dude, I'm getting to my Honda Civic and driving back to Mandarin right now. Like, you guys are gonna have fun. This sucks. But anyway, so after that summer, so probably like 4 or 5 months later, Max's sophomore year at Plymouth, my junior year at Plymouth. That summer in between, I was really good friends with our buddy Shiloh and all of his friends from Max's hometown, which came to our buddy Dolan, who kind of was one of the guys who kind of like got me into golf, gave me a lot of pointers when I was first starting out, told me to stop hitting the club behind me, fucking all this. He's like, there's just all this like little things that he taught me. And then he was eventually like, "Yo, dude, like my buddy Max works at Wyndham Country Club. Like when he gets out, we can go play with him for cheap, free." And we started doing that. And my first introduction to golf and like playing with buddies was like being the bad dude who like played with two guys that were really good. Because even at that time, Max, you guys were still low single-digit handicaps. So these guys are going back and forth. Birdie par, like making crazy shots. And I'm just there like watching, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where my like hunger to get better. Cause like playing with Max these last 8 years is a project for your boy, to be honest. Cause like, Max, I just want to beat you. I don't care if it's strokes. I don't care if there's no strokes. I don't care if it's this match or that match. I just want to fucking beat you once, bro. And it's coming, dude. It's coming. But where it all came from is Daigle and I did our classic, take an April day off of work, go up to Canterbury, get shit faced. We went to my wife. We saw her at work. We got a little fucking crazy. We're like, fuck it. We're going to go play another nine. We end up going to play nine. And after we play nine, come down into the parking lot, let Daigle off at the car a little bit easier than I did before. Because earlier that round, I dumped him into the fucking parking lot. It wasn't
even a dump. That you threw me down.
Dude still has a scar on his elbow. Covered in his blood. Kid was covered in blood the whole round.
Yeah, the entire round. Just had a towel over my elbow.
He would hit a shot, and there'd be blood splatter everywhere, like on the cart and shit. I'm like, yeah,
and that's what I blame the bad score on. It had nothing to do with the fact that I was 27 beers and 17 shots deep. Dude, it had everything to do with that cut on my elbow.
I cold missed one. I just missed the ball. I swung and missed the ball. Second shot on the first hole. Told Dago to throw the scorecard away.
Scorecard.
Scorecard was off the fucking off the fucking steering wheel by the second shot of the first hole.
Yes.
But we get through this. It's funny though. My mom's ex-husband's son, nephew's best friend were the two dudes that we got paired up with that day. So a crazy fucking day. Crazy nostalgic day. We get back into the cart. We get back into the parking lot after playing this round. And what beautiful cherub do I see? What beautiful man do I see? Maxie smiling ear to fucking ear like he always is on the golf course. God, how fucking well he hits the ball. I saw Maxie and it was fucking signed, sealed, and delivered ever since. Played every round with us over every weekend watching sports. Involved in my wedding, a groomsman at my wedding, a very integral part of my bachelor party, coming up with the fucking not having a hand in the groomsman gift. I know, Dago, I'm walking a tightrope now. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to do the right thing here. But Maxie, I'm so glad we saw each other at Wyndham Country Club a couple years ago. I'm so glad you've come on to be such an integral part of this friend group. I'm so glad that you've been my golf dad for the last 5 years. Maxie, tell me more about your golf life growing up, all the way up until you saw my beautiful face at Wyndham Country Club.
I still think everyone that's listening and here still can't believe that that wasn't my Chinese food. But just say.
It was a number 7, too. It was a good meal.
It was. No, I mean, golf's just always been I started out playing golf when I was 3 with my grandfather, and it's just something, you know, growing up in Florida, I guess it's one of those, it's just like you guys, you know, with skiing, you know, it's just one of those things that you just grow up doing, and it's one of those things that you can play till, you know, you're dead. So, you know, it's a sport that I think brings a lot of people together, and I think that it's something that we can all do and we can all share with each other, you know, throughout our whole lives. You know, it's not just something that, you know, you're with those specific group of friends for like one time in your life where, oh, these are your baseball buddies, these are your basketball friends or whatever. Where like your golf friends are like your friends for your whole life. So that's kind of like, that's a cool part about golf is it's one of those things where you can play forever.
Damn, Max is getting the fucking tears going on the fucking podcast.
So deep.
Yeah. Wow, how you
doing?
That's
2 weekends in a row. 2 weeks in a row of you just some like unbelievably profound shit, Max. I'm impressed.
You know, I should have been a poet. I didn't even know it.
I completely disagree with that. You're a much better fucking golfer than you are a poet.
I agree with that too.
All right, so last thing I want to do here is I want to run through everybody what they want to most improve about their game this year. We're going to dovetail that into some sessions with some film sessions with Max as to how to improve on those specific topics. So I'm going to start with Max here because I know he probably has this on top of mind. And then I'm going to hit Daigle and Kojak, hit myself last, and then we'll kind of finish this thing out here. But Max, I know that there's not much help that you can get from the members of this podcast. But I know that you're entering in some lessons here, and I really want to know – I really want you to get into, like, what you really want to improve and, like, what that entails, like, what you intend on working on and how you intend on working it.
So for me, I think, you know, I talked to, you know, an ex-PGA professional about going to get a swing evaluation and work on some things to, you know, try and maybe play some competitive golf here down in the state of Florida. But I just think for me, the biggest thing I need to work on is inside of 100 yards. And that, I just think that's something that I'm, you know, pretty decent at already, but I just think that it's something I need to practice more often. For me, at least, I think that's something that I need to work on in my
game. It's just such a tough thing to practice on the range. You know what I mean? You got to stick out there at 100 yards or 75 yards, and you're hitting the same shot every time to that same distance that has no elevation change. It has no fucking lie. It has no all that bullshit. So you know what I mean? That's a good – and I don't know. From my perspective, if you've ever seen Max play golf, to be honest, dude, I think some of your best part of your games is your short game. Your maybe not your 100 yards in end game, but like your 50 and 25 yards in end game. I feel like that's really where you make your scope, like where you make your strokes, where you make your score. Like you're a really good putter. And I feel like that's a huge thing, because like if you make that target circle that you hit into even smaller, you're going to drop that many more putts. You're going to shave that many more strokes off your game, and you're going to be that more competitive in a match setting, which is good. The fact that you have something to improve upon shows a lot for people like myself, Kojak, and Dave.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing too is, you know, you got to find a good place where you can go to practice, where you're practicing stuff that's the same thing that you're going to play, right? Just going to the range and sitting there and being like, oh, I'm going to try to hit this 60 yards every time isn't going to, you know, help you. You know,
how many 60-yard shots in a row do you have on the course? Maybe one?
Yeah, but if you go to, you know, there's a course around here. It's called Landsbrook. It's kind of more in Palm Harbor, but they have a short game area where everything's inside of 100 yards and in. So you can sit there and you can hit the three different flags from inside of 70 yards. So you can be like, okay, I want to work on hitting a higher shot to this pin, a lower shot to the, you know, it's just something like that where you're practicing more of into a green where you're just hitting to a wide open field. That makes sense.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And I think that's an added advantage that we have for living down here. You know what I mean? I feel like there's so like, dude, there's three courses within 20 minutes of my house that I could go there and just like spend an hour at the range or in the short game. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's like something I didn't have when I lived in New Hampshire, is like nobody really, nowhere around had more than either a driving range and a chipping area. You know what I mean? So like having that stuff accessible to you is such like a, it's such a leg up. And I'm glad that you have like a spot near your house that you can like specifically work on that part of your game. No offense, Max. Actually, no, you go.
I was going to say, just, you know, I know we're in Florida, but even for the people up north, you know, it sounds stupid, but go in your bedroom or whatever and take a cup that you drink water with, put it up against a wall and hit 50, 100 putts a day just to get that muscle memory and that feel of, you know, the ball hitting off the face. I don't know. There was a cool video I saw about Tiger. He was like, I hit 1,000 balls a day. Whether it's chipping, putting on the range, 1,000 contacts with the club every day just gets that feel for when he's like getting prepared for a major, which I thought was kind of wild. But
that's a really good touch point. And even if you like cut that down, like I want to do 1,000 swings a week, or I want to do 100 swings a day, or I want to do like, you know what I mean? You can compartmentalize that into like an amateur player, which is good transitive property there, Max. No offense. You have much less to improve on for everybody else on the podcast, so I'm going to move on here. Daigle, as the short game god on the podcast, what do you want to improve on this year?
Gotta be tee shots. I would say my style of golf is kind of like Jordan Spieth-esque, where I spray the ball all over from the tee box and then kind of let my short game kind of save my ass most of the time. So it'll be nice to hit some more fairways.
Hold on 1 second. That is some of the most honest self-evaluation I've ever heard in the game of golf. That's pretty – so not trying to be a – like, I'm no guru. But, like, that's pretty fucking spot on, bro.
Yeah, exactly. I know what I am, so just got to accept it. No, I definitely
want to – What's your plan to get better?
I'm going to hit the range more. I've been doing some kind of like shadow swings here and there when I'm bored, but one of those, I need to just get out to the range and just start slow half swings and that, and kind of work my way up. I don't know. Everyone else seems to have this problem too. It's the slotting that club on the driver. Just, I can't figure that out for whatever reason. And I end
up the shaft down.
Yeah. Apparently that seems to work. So
And guess what? I might have a little shaft for you to try. How you doing?
A little shaft.
A nice shaft.
Average shaft.
It's the Red Rocket.
It's the perfect size.
No bigger, no smaller, please.
It's the motion. It's the motion in the ocean, sweet ass.
Oh my god, Max.
Oh jeez.
Which is no more true in golf than it is in sex, dude. It's like, doesn't matter what you've got, what you're packing, dude. Doesn't matter what you're packing. If you're swinging it right, she gonna be screaming no matter what. Anyway, so we got Maxi wants to get better 100 yards and in. We got Daigle wants to be a little bit more consistent off the tee because we've got some good basis there to be a very lethal golfer if we can put him in the goddamn fairway every time. Kojak, come off mute there and tell me what you are trying to improve upon this year and how you're going to do it. Still on mute.
You're good.
Oh no! I think his mic disconnected when he hit his when his AirPods. He's back, bitches.
He's back.
What the hell? Anyways,
couldn't you?
Let me set you up again. So we have Max, who's trying to get better from 100 yards and in. We have Daigle, who we're just trying to get in the We're just trying to get Daigle on the course off the tee, and then Kojak. What are you trying to get better at, and what part of your game are you trying to improve, and how are you going to do it?
Yes.
Good answer.
Thank you.
last year, I felt like I really worked a lot on within 100 yards. I'm kind of cooked when I have to put a wedge in my hand. I don't know, man. I think I really need to work on my irons, my approach shots this year. I'm kind of cooked off the tee, but once I'm feeling it, I'm feeling it around, I can get off the tee pretty well, but I can't do shit with my approach shots. So I feel like I need to get – I think that's going to be my the fuck.
What's the game word? Plan.
Yeah. Cool. My goal. Thanks, Joe. That'll be my goal, Jim. How am I going to accomplish that goal? Play more golf and play a lot of it.
Fuck yeah.
You know how else you're going to accomplish that goal? Hashtag at golf tech. Get fitted for new clubs, just like Joe Scher.
Yeah.
Thank you for providing the transition, Maxi. So, Kojak, I'm going to give you the same 30,000-foot view I gave the other two guys. Max, yeah, he's good at golf. He wants to get better from 100 yards in. Whatever. We're fucking circumcising a fucking mosquito over there. Thanks, Max. Daigle, I mean, no offense to you. It's been obvious for a couple years. You're fucking nasty with your irons. I hit the ball a long way. Daigle outhits me with his irons. You're a much better short game player than I am. I think the only other part of your game you have to spruce up a little bit in the same way as if you could putt like you chipped, you'd be a fucking single digit. You're right there. And Kojak, you're the same way, dude. Bro, your peak of your game and how good you can be, like some of the shots you hit, like remember that one shot you hit at Kiwa on my after my wedding and you kicked in that birdie? You hit that one 8-iron? Yeah. No, it was an 8-iron, bro. It was an 8-iron. Oh, yeah. He hit it right at the flag.
That and was
it
a hybrid. Right next.
Oh, it was a hybrid. So regardless, it landed. It ended up 2 inches from the flag, and you kicked it in. So, like, I know that you have that in you. You know what I mean? So
no, I think that
if you find some way to be more consistent and bring that Kojak out of your swing more, I think you're in for exponential success.
Thanks, pal.
Anyway. So, like Max said, I'll let the cat out of the bag. I finally got fitted. I had to. I got fitted. And where I'll start with that is, so when you go to Golf Tech, you get fit off a 7-iron, right? The guy has you hit a couple 7-irons. You can get most of your stats from your 7-iron. Pretty good gateway between your short irons and your long irons. So, I hit a couple, faded as usual. He takes my club, goes back, measures it, comes back, measures my wrist to floor distance. And he goes, did you know you've been playing a iron that is an inch too long for the last 5 years? And I said, what? He goes, yeah, you play a half inch under stock and your clubs are a half inch longer than stock. I had no fucking idea. So here I am doing everything I can to get better and everything like that. And I don't want to say I've done everything, but I've done a lot to try to get better. You guys know I've put a lot into golf these last couple of years. And to come to somebody who tells me that it might be the arrow instead of the Native American, or it might be the tool instead of the tradesman, it was big for me, and it gave me a lot of confidence to be like, you know what? I can choke up. I can take full swings. I can fucking make sure that it's not just my swing that's prohibiting me from getting better. Which brings me to my overarching point is like how I'm going to get better is it's a combination of kind of what what Max and what Daigle said. When I get off the tee, I have really streaky days off the tee. I had a really good day in Maine 2 years ago with Kojak and Daigle, and I got off the tee every time. I was smashing my driver all over that course in Maine. I ended up shooting the low 80s. And I didn't putt great, I didn't chip great, but the fact that I was getting closer to the hole every time made a big difference. And these last couple years, this last year, I've really improved my iron play in my short wedge play. So now I know that I can kind of put it up, I can put it near the green, and I can put it close to the pin. I don't want to say close to the pin, but I can put it near the pin from mostly anywhere inside of 200 yards. My goal now is I need to make sure every approach shot that I have in a par four is under that 200-yard threshold that I've given myself. And that comes with getting off the tee and being more consistent. And the only way I can do that is you guys are completely right. I have to just beat fucking balls at the range. I have to find that slot. I have to find that muscle memory. And the last thing I want to do is I want to improve my putting, dude. I suck. I suck at putting. Putting's the worst part of my game. I'm bad at getting off the tee. I'm even worse at putting. So I think that getting fit for irons will kind of augment the best part of my game. You guys know the best part of my game is I'm a decent iron player, decent wedge player, and I kind of just hit like good shots all the time. Like I just hit good shots. I don't hit perfect shots. I don't hit really good shots. I'm just good at hitting good shots with a bunch of my irons and a bunch of my wedges. So I want to get to that same place with my tee shots because I feel like if I'm hitting a majority of good tee shots, hitting a majority of good wedge shots, and then I can kind of focus on my short game while I have all that kind of stuff tied up. So I don't know if you guys have any other thoughts on getting better, improving anybody else's game. I don't know if anybody has other clothing thoughts before I plug this whore up.
No, I like it. It's fucking
I would just
get after it.
Tell me, Max. Bring me back.
My thing is
round me. Dude.
80% of your practice should be chipping and putting.
And that's what it is, Max, and that's why I'm getting better, but now I can't hit a fucking 3-wood to hit the fairway, bro.
Muscle memory, Jim. It'll get
fuck
there.
Fuck off.
Yeah, God damn it, Max. I'm going to start playing when I'm 8 next time, dude. Fucking, if I'm doing this life over, I'm fucking playing when I'm 8, dude. Jesus Christ.
I was 3.
All right. Thank you for proving my point, just like you guys do every time you talk about Scotty. Anyway, so this has been the 4Dude 1Cart podcast. I want to give a quick shout out to our umbrella here, to Primetime Productions. The shout out, basically, they've been so supportive and so forthcoming with information about getting this podcast off the ground, giving us all the graphics, giving us all the support we need. And then I want to give a shout out to you three boys. Kojak, with all the fucking editing you do, all the shit that you do for this podcast, I really appreciate you. And Max and Daigle, we put you guys in an impossible situation where like, hey, we're starting a podcast next week. We want to put multiple podcasts out before the Masters start. And you guys are like, no problem. Send me the fucking link. I'm there when you guys need me to. So I appreciate that shit. So I don't know if you guys have any other the fucking emotional shit to get off your chest real quick, but that was kind of my soliloquy.
I just think we just got to end with a golf clap. Sign out in peace.
All right. So this has been the 4Dudes 1Cart podcast. I am Joe Scher, accompanied by Kojak, Max, and Daigle.
You're welcome.
How you doing? This has been the 4Dude 1Cart podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
Good and you?